Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
There was people, generally speaking, like acted like going to Penn State was like you had gotten into Harvard or something like that, or had gotten into UVA as an undergrad out of state.
Oh, so Donnie, you have it? You have the guy that was very upset that Chris is one of these rare birds who
he tried
went to a big college football school and hates that college football.
Let's play
team.
It, Donnie.
So wait, did you go back and forth with him?
He gave us his take.
Okay, because that's what I have.
And then ended with a question of me, and then I just kind of flew off the handle a little bit.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure I didn't miss anything. Here we go.
Yeah.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
Good, what's
hey,
up?
Hey, Chris, how you doing?
Hey.
Hey, look, I went to Penn State, and I called you before, and I told you my four kids went to Penn State. So, you know, we're real big Penn State supporters. It's going to be a tough game tomorrow night, no doubt about it. I don't know who's going to win. It's anybody's guess. You know, you need a crystal ball. But I just wanted to know if Chris would like to let us all know tonight why he's so anti-Penn State all the time, especially since he's a graduate of Penn State.
I just went nuts about Nebraska and Tommy Frazier, and Bob got a big kick out of it. He tried to kill me with kind of, oh, hello. He was actually nice about it compared to most people.
He sounded like more disappointed
oh,
in
yeah.
you than angry.
Oh, yeah.
Than angry.
Like crestfallen almost that I'm like that.
How could you do this to us? How could
or
you let us down like this?
It's almost, well, for some people.
You should be on the air defending.
Defending our honor and everything
you should be
else.
Sticking up for us
right.
on the Pitt flagship station and going
you should
to
be like our
Penn
Benedict
State.
Arnold
we need
and
you.
Like undercutting them.
We need you to be our Trojan horse.
Three types of Penn State fans who confront me, but get mad at me about this. There's the types who are like genuinely pissed off at me, like think I'm a complete a-hole or a jerk for this.
Yes, I've run into some of those.
Many of those. Like want to just troll me, which is fine, whatever. Then there are the people who are like confused genuinely by it. They're not mean about it. They're baffled. And then there's guys like Alan right there who I think like wish I, they're like, come on, man, why aren't you on the team? Like they can't believe that I went up there for school and did not get like swept up in the football mystique.
I mean, I'm surprised by that, even though I've heard your reasoning and heard you explain why
you
don't root for them.
You also know kind of better than most people. You spend more time around me, like probably my wife in some ways,
yeah,
because of how our jobs work. You know that I'm like a person who swims against the current in general with that stuff. Like if I get the sense that I'm in a place or like being exposed to a team and I'm being told root for them because that's what everyone else does, what is the most likely Mulsey behavior there?
You're going
to
go
to do what somebody doesn't want me to do.
Yep.
And that feeling only got stronger and stronger from my first game I went to as a freshman to the last.
I heard Crowley in the midst of making that orgasmic noise. Can we hear that again?
Just the noise.
Oh! About Doran saying he's running for Penn State. I also heard him mention that he feels like all of these teams have already had great seasons. Like mission accomplished. By getting to this round.
Wait, both of these two or all four?
All four. And
oh,
so
Ohio State is absolutely not in that
bucket. By the
bucket.
Way, okay, so I care way less about Ohio State and Texas, and I care less about Notre Dame
Franklin
than I do
hasn't
Penn State.
Accomplished anything
that,
to put away
thank
the demons.
You. That, that's,
nothing.
That's the next thing I wanted to get to. All right, he took down SMU at home. I stupidly picked SMU to win that game, and then I rightly flip-flopped and said that they were going to bury State because Boise State's biggest feather in its cap was just that they lost a close game to a really good team. And I thought it was basically 1-on-11 against Ashton Gentry, and that one of my very clairvoyant Nostradamus-like takes. But I'm sorry,
on one hand.
He has one win against Ohio State in his entire tenure, and this is how the old makes it sound like it's antiquated, but this is how the last playoff tournament worked. You got to the round of four. And there are plenty of teams that would get here,
and
get buried
out.
And lose
yep.
big programs, and it's not, hey, at least you got to this point, hang a banner from that, job well done. And I know it sounds crazy, and this is, and in one respect, this is a flex for Penn State, but I'm not going to sing the virtues of this guy and put him on a pedestal until he wins a game like this against another team, frankly, that up until the Georgia game has had a history of losing in these spots. As far as I'm concerned, Notre Dame did exercise a demon by beating Georgia. They went up against 100%. A powerhouse.
They went up against the exact kind of team that would routinely humiliate them when they would get
and
there.
And before you say, well, Carson Beck was out, A, Carson Beck did not have a great year, and B, Donnie and I and you were watching a game earlier this year where Ohio State, or earlier today, where Ohio State went into a college football playoff game with its third string quarterback and beat Alabama. Usually those schools, their backup quarterbacks are still pretty damn good.
Their backup quarterbacks are usually among the best quarterbacks in the country.
I'm not going to cheapen Notre Dame's win, but I am going to cheapen Penn State's.
Well,
their playoff starts right now. For in my opinion, they got
Franklin,
a double bye.
For James Franklin specifically, the playoff is now.
They got a double bye by playing Boise State and SMU. So if they lose and it's frankly not close against Notre Dame, or he urinates down his leg with the decision in this game, I'm not going to say, hey, James Franklin, you know, tonight sucks and you didn't do what we expected or asked for of you, but overall, thanks for getting us here. No, I'm not going to say that about him. And if Penn State fans don't like me holding their coach to a high standard, well, then you look in the mirror and ask yourself what that says about what you want or are looking for in your coach. So
I just don't. I don't think they're going to get blown out, but I actually believe Notre Dame is going to beat them. Like I think this is going to be another game, and I think it's going to be the kind of game that leaves Penn State fans even more furious with Franklin, because I don't think Notre Dame's built to blow them out, because they don't have like an overwhelming manpower advantage.
Donnie, Adam Crowley has picked Penn State to win big. So what will his reaction be if Notre Dame wins?
Oh!
Sorry, I just needed to get that in again. So you're going Notre Dame. Donnie, who wins and why for you?
I'm actually going with Penn State. I don't know if it's a little bit of reverse jinxing on my end. I didn't really pick the last matchup. I had a pretty strong feeling they would take care of business against Boise.
Wait a minute. Yes, you do know if it's a reverse jinxing. If it's not deliberately, then maybe you're doing it subconsciously.
Says the guy who sent like 50 tweets the day they played Boise.
I meant hopes.
No, you did not.
Yes, I did. Ask
no,
Chris.
You did not.
Yes, I did. Chris, did I not tell you before the tournament started that if they beat SMU, they were going to beat Boise
pretty,
State?
He's okay. been pretty resolute.
You're going to tell me. Okay,
Boise.
You're going to tell me that you did not have an undertone of man. I hope Penn State loses here.
Oh, that's different. I wasn't doing it because I thought doing it was going to cause Penn State to lose the game. I was telling people what I thought was actually going to happen, and at the same time keeping my fingers crossed that I was wrong and Boise State beat them. Absolutely. No,
knowing that you get things like that wrong pretty often, and people love to point it out to you.
I don't care if people point it out to me or not. I always just blast my opinions out there. Like, when I kept saying the Steelers were going to beat the Bengals, do you think I had an undercurrent of wanting them to lose the game on Saturday?
No.
Right. So, I mean, I told you guys from the minute the bracket came out, I thought Boise State was
You also don't hate the Steelers, though.
No.
Some would argue he does, given the things that he tweets.
No, I don't hate Penn State. I just have a strong...
Dislike.
Dislike for the...
No hate.
Well, no, hold on here. I hate the way that fans make me feel about them.
I hate like the fan arrogance that I think is unwarranted yet. And James Franklin is just incredibly irksome. He is a very difficult guy to like.
And I think a lot of their fans, if they were in their trust tree of talking among Penn State fans and didn't feel like there was...
They don't like Franklin either right now.
Right, exactly. No, they're allowed to say it, but the outsiders are not.
No, I will give some of the Penn State fans out there credit. When I've criticized him, as long as it hasn't like delved into, I just think this guy's a piece of garbage, like strictly staying on the field, you'll get plenty of Penn State fans who are like, you know, I hate you for what you say about the program. You're right about him.
So who are
they
you?
Know.
So you legitimately though think Penn State's going to win the game, Don?
I do.
Bottom line.
Yeah.
I like this game reeks of 20-16 Notre Dame to me.
It doesn't matter because it's just the Ohio State Invitational.
I actually, it pains me to say this, but I agree with that. I think that the only chance somebody has a beating Ohio State is Texas.
I said that earlier. I said that no, Texas Keith and his boys, they're the only shot.
So the reason why I don't think it's that black and white, Notre Dame, their entire secondary is made up of guys that are going to play in the NFL.
No, defense is great, but so is Ohio State's entire roster.
No, I know that, but we saw against Michigan when Ohio State, in that game, they chose not to pass the ball.
That game was an elective choice because Jim Harbaugh broke Ryan Day's brain.
If there's any team that has the guys to match up against, you know what? I'm not even going to say that. I don't think Ohio State or Notre Dame has the secondary to match up with the receivers, but I think their secondary is good enough where the quarterback can't take advantage of it, if it makes sense. Like, I think
you think Ohio State won't get a bunch of cheapy big plays?
I don't think guys are going to be wide open. I think they'll be NFL open, but I don't think Will Howard can make NFL open throws necessarily. I don't think it's going to look like it did against Oregon. I think Notre Dame's defense, let me continue to try to say this the best way possible.
Very clean so far.
I think Notre Dame is going to have a hard time scoring points against Ohio State. So I would bet the under in that game big time. I think it would be a first to 20 game.
Give me a time where a team that didn't score a lot of points ground down their opponents in the college football playoff or
not a lot lately, but
it's a scoring game now, man. It's a high flying game.
I know, but the teams that are left aren't really. I mean, Ohio State
can do whatever they want to just.
Texas wasn't that this year.
I think Texas has kind of the horses to maybe get into
and,
the track.
And Penn State and Notre Dame are really running teams. Like, I don't think Penn State's wide receivers can get open against Notre Dame. The guy that can
is
Warren.
Open against Ohio State.
We'll see if the tight end can, because he's a great player, but Notre Dame's got one of the best safeties in the country.
I was just going to say, you're talking about a secondary that has great safeties and can probably, not neutralize him, but can probably do some things schematically to take him mostly away.
And I think Aller's got the Mitch Trubisky gene in him. I think he makes incredible throws, but I think he's going to give you five a game where it's like, oh my God, what was he thinking on that play? The offensive coordinator gets too cute too, Chris.
I just think that, I mean, I think the bottom line for them is the game feels to me like it's going to be a close game. And I don't trust James Franklin in close games. Why would anybody? He's either going to clam up when he shouldn't and instead of being aggressive, take some very bad conservative approach. Or he's going to let the offensive coordinator get too cute when he shouldn't. It's just I am very convinced, and I don't get these things right as much as I would like. I'm very convinced that we are going to come out of this game tonight talking about how it wasn't just that James Franklin didn't beat a great team when he had a chance. It was James Franklin was James Franklin's worst enemy.
Time for our weekly chat with big time Steelers insider Ray Fittipaldo. A lot to talk about with Ray because it's Steelers Ravens round 3. Saturday night, the rubber match between the two teams for all the marbles. Winner moves on. Loser goes home with its tail between its legs and has to recalibrate and think about what's next. Injuries today, a big story. Zay Flowers is officially out for the Ravens. And John Harbaugh, by the way, when talking about it, said, he's already going to start to get ready for next week. Which that probably gets on the Steelers bulletin board. Hey, he thinks we're going to lose. He's already talking about Zay Flowers' next opponent. And then for the Steelers, you got Mason McCormick with a broken hand, and he's officially questionable. Steelers' secondary is completely healthy, Dante Jackson. So, Ray, let's start there with the defense in a much better spot than it was the last time they played Baltimore, and now you subtract Flowers' advantage Steelers' defense when it's on the field against the Ravens' offense.
Well, I wouldn't go that far, but you are absolutely right. It's a completely different situation than it was. I mean, half their secondary was missing in that first meeting, and Flowers, of course, played. Listen, to me, Pony, you still go into this game trying to shut down Derrick Henry, number one. That's the way the Steelers always play it, and I think that's the smart thing to do. Now with Flowers out, I think the next important guy is Mark Andrews. And then you worry about guys like Likely and Rashad Bateman. Listen, Bateman's had an okay year, but I go after Andrews first. I think he's the number one priority now. And if you can shut down the run and you can put the game in Lamar's hands, and we all know, the pressure might be, ratcheted up a little bit if that game is close at all, you know, after halftime, then, you know, maybe the Steelers will have a chance. But I still think Lamar proved last week they could still score 35 points without Zay Flowers. So I don't know if they're exactly, you know, shuddering in their boots at the notion of having to play without him on Saturday night.
Ray, do you think that we have cause to believe that the Steelers will be able to shut down Derrick Henry? The only thing that stopped him in the first game was John Harbaugh not giving him the ball in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I mean, certainly based off the game on December 21st, you know, they figured some things out in that game. Listen, Cam Hayward has to show up. You know, he's missed a lot of practice, you know, this week. But, you know, this could be the last go-around for him. I think he's going to be fired up to play. So I think Cam
Wait
will be
Wait a
minute,
time out. You really think that's possible? You think he could retire after this game?
Oh, I don't know about that. I'm just saying, you know, this is might be his last go-around at the playoffs. You never know what
the
future is going to hold. Yeah. Okay. I mean, Cam's been their best defensive lineman. You got to bring him back on on the contract he signed. Listen, Benton's got to show up. Ogunjobi's got to show up.
And how about T.J. Watt? He got to do more, Ray? What do you think of T.J. Watt going into this game?
Yeah, I mean, listen, as a pass rusher, you know what the deal's going to be. They're gonna double-team him. They're going to chip him. Other guys have to get home. I think a lot of people are projecting onto the outside linebackers the failure of the pass rush. To me, a lot of it has to do with the interior. Guys other than Cam Hayward not getting that interior pressure, not forcing the middle of the pocket. And I think that's making the entire pass rush look bad. But I think, you know, it's something we're going to be talking about after the season ends, what has happened to the Steelers pass rush. You know, 5 years in a row, they led the league. Now, the last 2 years, things have kind of gone in the other direction. So that's something that certainly is going to be discussed once the season does end.
Flipping sides of the ball, Ray, do you expect that we get a game plan that is more like, I don't know, the Cincinnati game plan the first time around? Let's let Russ throw it around a little bit. Or Mike Tomlin says, let's get this thing into the mud. We're going to run the ball as much as we can for as long as the game is close.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Arthur said yesterday, you know, there were some things that they were doing well early in the season that aren't trending well right now. And his quote was, I'm not going to die on that hill. Now, we can all guess at what plays he's talking about, but I'm guessing it's that toss to Najee and probably some other running plays that really haven't, done well for the Steelers here in the last month or so. So they're going to have to manufacture stuff in the running game. They're going to have to come up with something new. And I do think this could be the last game of the season. You want to go out guns ablaze. And so I would try to target George Pickens early, and I thought what they did last week with Pat Freiermuth, getting him involved early and throughout the game, I think, you know, that was good. So if you could target each of those guys 8 to 10 times and then spread it around to the other guys, as you see fit, I think that's probably going to be the way they're going to go in the passing game.
Pickens is going to get fined. He refused to talk to you guys this week. What is his mental headspace going into this game, Ray? Do you trust him to have a big game?
I wish I knew. Do you think Mike Tomlin knows? Or do you think Russell Wilson knows at this point? I mean, it's anyone's guess, you know, which player is going to show up on Saturday night. Obviously, they need him. They don't have anyone else who's going to threaten the Ravens, in the passing game. So, listen, the one positive is he always does seem to show up against the Ravens, right? You know, game-winning touchdown catches and, he's had a couple 100-yard receiving games against them. So that's one good thing. He usually does show up for these games, but he's certainly going to have to bounce back from what happened last week. That was not a good performance against the Bengals.
Do you think George Pickens wants to be a Steeler in the long term, Ray?
I don't know. I don't know. That's a decision they're going to have to make, you know, by March. Whether they win Saturday or not, you know, that's something that they're going to have to figure out there. To me, it's going to be hard going forward with him if this is the way it's always going to be. You know, I thought you saw a little bit of growth, you know, after the first month of the season, like October, maybe even into November, but now it's kind of, you know, slid back to where it was. So, usually they find ways to move on from those types of guys. So it's just a matter of do they do it this year, trade him before the draft, or they try to go in the next season and, you know, have him on the roster for one final season.
Ray, could they get desperate enough in this game where they would bench Wilson for Fields?
I don't really foresee that unless there was like a really, really bad start. But I do
think you mean like most Steelers games?
Yeah, most playoff games. I do think Justin Fields is going to be involved, though. I don't think that's not the. Let's say they get down 14-0 in the first quarter, Pony. I don't think it's sending the right message to your football team that we've gone with this guy the entire season, and now we're going to panic and we're going to go to a backup. I just think they believe in us for a reason. I think they'll give him some time to figure it out, but I think there's going to be some third and shorts or some goal-to-go situations where they might want to use Justin Fields, and I think that would be smart. I think you want to put as much stress on this Ravens defense as you can, and I think Justin Fields is really one of your better playmakers, so I think it would be smart to get him involved.
Ray, I guess, well, I'll ask you one more thing because I know Pony's last question to you is our standard one of all guests this week. Do you expect that, like, I would say overall in a strategic sense in this game, so I'm going to say broadly speaking, that Mike Tomlin, what is the phrase, burns the boats here and throwing the kitchen sink at the Ravens on both sides of the football? Do you expect, I know you just answered about Fields, any kind of, like, trickery, he tries a flea flicker, anything goofy like that, you think?
Yeah, I mean, listen, you do have to pull out all the stops, but you also have to do the basic fundamental things really well in this football game if you want to win. So I don't see them, you know, going crazy and bringing seven-man blitzes on defense or anything like that. I think on defense, they want to play Lamar basically the way they've always played Lamar. But if you want to flip it over to the offense, yeah, could we see some, you know, flea flickers or reverse passes? Yeah, I think they're going to do everything they can to gain yards in this game, extend drives. That's been one big issue with this football team. Everyone's upset about the lack of targets for George, but, you know, Art said it best yesterday, you know, we have to extend drives. We got to make plays in order to make other plays. And I think, being creative is certainly one way that they can get some splash plays.
And when you say creative, you mean don't run the ball on every first down the entire game?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves, right, Ray? I mean, that's just called your identity. That's what you want to do out there.
Listen, we do know it's possible. They did it in Cincinnati a month ago. It's possible that they can come out and do that against the Ravens.
Apparently against the Dean Pease defense, might be better off just punting the ball on first down and hoping that your defense can win you the game if you go by what Mike has said. I will ask you the boilerplate question that Chris said, but I do want to ask this one first. What do you think, if they lose this game, and Art Rooney has talked about urgency to win playoff games and we must win a playoff game, mm-hmm. What do you think is the biggest change that could be inspired by a loss in this game on Saturday for next year?
I would say staff changes.
But not to the coordinators, so just guys that are position coach changes.
I mean, listen, it would depend on what it looks like. If there's more blown coverages, maybe they would make a statement and maybe they would make a change there just because that's such a bad look for it to happen again and again late in the season. But listen, Arthur just got here last year and Austin just signed a new contract last year too. So they would have to eat some money if they did that.
Ray, we've asked everybody this week, our weekly guests, who they're picking and to give a Steelers-Ravens score prediction. No one has picked the Steelers to win yet. So here is your chance to go against the grain and pick a Steelers victory to advance in the playoffs.
I'm guessing you have your boy Kabali on tomorrow night then, right?
Yes, he's on tomorrow. He's in tomorrow in studio.
Yeah, he's already picked them. The only way I see the Steelers winning this game is if they're winning at halftime. I think they'll have a shot if they're winning at halftime. I don't think they will. I'm going to go Ravens 38, Steelers 17.
38-17.
That's a route.
Holy
that
crap.
Is a route.
That's like
that is like uncomfortably close to a score I have already written down for this game.
That's like the game in Kansas City a couple years ago.
The last one was 34-17. So,
but they got everybody back. Ray is what we keep hearing.
I know.
Over again.
Yeah, maybe Lamar's turned the corner. We'll see. The one thing I do want to see, I want to see a close game at halftime because I want to see if they tighten up. And you know, we saw that with the Steelers way back with Cowher, right? You know, those teams underperformed. Oh, I think the Ravens.
Pony has no idea what that was like in the moment, Ray. Pony has watched all of that because he is a football anthropologist.
Yeah.
but he has no idea the puckering that went on every single year in the early to mid 90s, it seemed.
But aren't the Ravens in that exact same scenario right now?
I think Lamar definitely is. Well, Ray, I don't think Harbaugh is because he's won a Super Bowl before, but I think Lamar absolutely is.
Absolutely. I mean, the pressure is going to be on. I want like a 10-9 game at halftime, Steelers leading. That would be great drama for the second half.
Thanks, Ray. We'll talk again next week, win or lose. Appreciate it.
All right, guys. See you.
Total Request Thursday. You, the listener, pick what we talk about 5:30 every Thursday. Your four options today. Steelers, Ravens, Penn State, Notre Dame. Penn's Oilers tonight at the arena with McDavid in town, and it's Star Wars night. And Mike Tomlin, always a popular topic for our fans and listeners. Steelers, Ravens won. Closer than you'd expect, though, with it being a playoff game, because Penn State, Notre Dame was at 35%. So a gallant effort right there, but Steelers, Ravens pulled away at the end. All right. Every one of our insiders has picked the Ravens to win. Fittipaldo, the latest. He's the first one to say the game is really going to be a one-sided affair. That's not what you want to hear. Many of you want to hear some of these people call for the big upset. And so none of us have done that either. Donnie's going to pick the game in a few minutes. Maybe this hype song that was sent to us will get the juices flowing and get people in the right frame of mind for this game. So I honestly have not heard this. I have no idea what we're about to hear. But this was submitted to us as like, hey, the listeners at 93.7 The Fan and the hosts have been very doom and gloom and apocalyptic.
How about a little ray of sunshine kind of thing?
Yes. So, Donnie, without further ado, here is the Steelers-Ravens playoff hype song.
Yo, here comes the Steelers knocking on your door. Tell them six ain't enough, we're getting one more. Two-stepping on the Ravens like a dance floor. Oh my good Lord. Someone give me a here we go. They know the black and gold are gonna show. Max says there is a party down on Fifth Ave. All the Steelers fans are getting rowdy.
It doesn't even rhyme right there.
All the Steelers fans are getting rowdy. All the Steelers fans are getting rowdy. Been a fan since I was born. I ain't changing for shit. Tell my ma she'd be proud. Oh Lord. Fired up at 10 a.m., it's time to do the shit again. Ravens fans can go eat shit. Oh Lord, yo,
here
comes the Steelers knocking on your door. Tell them six ain't enough, we're getting one more. Two-stepping on the Ravens like a dance floor. Oh my good Lord, someone give me a here we go.
Here we go.
They know the black and gold are gonna show.
Show.
Max says there is a party down on Fifth Ave. All the Steelers fans are getting rowdy.
I'm good. The rowdy thing is just, it's like Joe with George McPhee and Frosty the Snowman.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like whoever sent that to us ran out of rhymes.
Right. Too many left turns in that song. Like, I feel like it
give
was
it a grade, like we do PMT professors.
C minus. Because it just felt like they had 80% or 75% of the song. And they couldn't get the other 25%, which is pretty crucial.
I'm going to go C plus because I think it did pick up with the second verse. We
just
got some
extra swearing.
Yeah. And then,
you know what? I'll up it to an even C. You're right. I'm not giving enough credence to its best line by far, which is Ravens fans can eat.
Yeah. And Donnie, you had a pretty good template there. I know that's a song, the original song you like. So it's not like the beat to the song was bad. It's just the lyrics that were really it.
Problem. Yeah, I mean, that's like the catchiest song of 2024, I think it was.
How much money do you think that Shaboozy guy has made off the actual song?
I don't know. I can probably look that up.
I hope the guy's made a ton of money. I feel like those guys don't make a lot when they stream, when stuff streams. Like the Spotify makes all the money.
Let's see here.
Shaboozy.
If it says. The AI on Googled isn't helping me.
Tipsy has earned him $10 million in royalties and streaming revenue.
Oh, you found it much better. What did you actually type in?
Shaboozy Tipsy earnings.
Oh, I probably should have done that. I just put money.
Is that good for a song that big to make $10 million bucks basically off of it?
Yeah. I think so.
What if he never has another hit?
Shibuji made more money off that song than Sidney Crosby makes in a year playing hockey.
That's true.
I mean, that puts it in pretty good context.
He is like a hip-hop country star. I didn't really know. That's a genre that I guess is actually starting to like happen here.
I like more of the old school hype songs. Like if we got sent something.
Here we go.
No, because I'm kind of over the Roger Wood thing too. It didn't hit the same this year when he.
We're from put it out there. The town with the great football team.
Get a little polka
we
in
cheer
there.
The Pittsburgh Steelers.
Something like that would have helped.
Hype songs in general, I feel like are, I don't know. They're kind of. I think they're kind of dated. They're like a relic of the
90s. I disagree. I like them when there's buzz and the hype song capitalizes on the buzz.
A palpable Buzz Williams.
Like the Super Bowl shuffle. There was a lot of enthusiasm.
You
want to
talk about bulletin board material up, recording that thing way before the game.
Yeah.
Was there sports radio in Chicago back then? They'd have been killing those
guys. And how about Roger? I'm sure didn't Roger Wood put the first one out in 2005? I'm sure when it came out then.
I thought it was way before that.
I thought it was before then, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was before then.
So going back to the early 90s Steelers?
They were getting three off Chris Brown's toe.
Oh, yeah, definitely. They were definitely.
How about Norm Johnson?
I think they were getting three off of Norm's toe, too.
How about
Gowie Anderson?
Gary Anderson, yeah.
I don't remember. Maybe it's because I was just too young. I remember they're getting 3 points off, and I guess it would have been Johnson's toe.
Like, was he like, we got Bobby, Louie, and Whirly, here we go.
No, Donnie, I distinctly remember, we got Son and the bus, here we go.
Yeah, that's why I said 2005.
No, but I mean, 97 would have been the bus. They're going to the AFC title game with Bettis.
Yeah.
I don't know. The 2005 one just is fondly remembered because he would always just, this is the year we get that one for the thumb. And then they finally did it. And my buddy Scott was bleeding from his face in Oakland. Punched a window to get into his house because he couldn't find his keys. I climbed through the broken window, unlocked the front door, only to find him pulling keys out of the front pants pocket he had.